in chapter 6. Yeah, I keep wanting to say chapter 7. It could be next week's chapter 8. Loving your children. And we're going to start by talking about dying to self. The painful process of dying to self. So I once heard it said that motherhood is a call to suffering. I don't know if you've heard that before. It was a sermon by John Piper, and I loved it because it sounded really painful, but it was very true. And it's very, very helpful for us to think about that in terms of expectation, because sometimes motherhood looks really glamorous from like a Hallmark perspective, right? Like, or you see like a sappy commercial and you're like, oh, motherhood, right? And then you get in it and you're like, wow, motherhood, this is really challenging, you know? It's just more. It's a lot more than what we expected, including the sacrifice. If you think about it from the beginning, before you even had a baby in your arms, even, this doesn't just apply to if you had a biological child, right? So I know I'm gonna say like, you're growing the baby and your body is in pain, but somebody grew a baby. If you adopted the baby, somebody was like sacrificing themselves, right? Their body was not their own, their hormones, all these things did not, they couldn't do what they did before. And even if you're going through the process of like, let's say you're adopting, you are in the birth pains, the growing process, while you're doing all the paperwork and all of the meetings and all of the dollars, and you're waiting and you're going to court. You're having all of this long, painful, drawn. It's not like, oh, there's a baby here. Great. I knew I was pregnant, or we were adopting, and the next day the baby was here. Like, it was just so easy. It's hard. And that's just the very beginning, as we heard Bev and Linda talking about and Jennifer, the growing up, and it's so wonderful to look ahead to where they are as adults, that the time goes by at times slowly, but then when you look back, it feels like, how did it go by already? How are you already?
It's 26.
Yeah. And we, by God's grace, I think we mentioned last week, God helps us forget the pains of like bearing the children or the hard moments. I think that's why, like, otherwise, I mean, how many people would have more than one child? Like, on purpose. And you're like, no, one was enough, because it is so challenging. But when we think about giving ourselves to our children and dying to our desires in order to love our children, we should think first of the Lord and how he sacrificed Christ for us. Like, Christ left heaven, came to earth. That in and of itself is a huge sacrifice. Here on earth, he remained over 30 years, and then he died the death that we deserve, took the punishment that we deserve, so that we could be reconciled to the Lord, not just now having joy, but eternal joy and reconciliation with him. That's incredible to think of. That's a sacrifice far beyond anything we've ever made as mothers, right? And even if you don't have your own children, your mother never made that sacrifice for you either. And so being able to think in those terms makes it a lot easier to be sacrificial to our kids, doesn't it? Like, wow, you love me that much, Lord. Okay, I can definitely get up in the middle of the night. I can definitely come help you with your problem, you know? And one of the scriptures that I was thinking of as I was thinking through this section was 1 John 4:8. God is love. That's where we get the idea of where we know how to love, is because the Lord is love. We don't come up or manufacture these ideas on our own. And even in the idea of being loving to our children, it's a requirement of a godly woman. Titus 2:4 says that. We are called as mothers to love our children. We don't get an option. So even the idea of the worldly phrase, I like my children, but I don't love them, that's not biblical. We can't say that. We can say, I love my child because God loved me, and God is love, and I love him because God loved me first, therefore I love my child. Lord, help me love my child. That may be your prayer, right? Lord, I do love my child. I want to love my child. Help me love my child, because everyone is unlovable. Namely, we should all have a mirror in front of us, ourselves. So as we're struggling with our kids at times, it's a great reminder. I myself am unlovable. God, thank you that you love me. Now help me to love my child. One of the things that most chafes me is the idea of loving your neighbor as yourself. Luke 10:27 says you should love the Lord, you've heard this before, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. So who are our nearest neighbors?
Our family.
Yeah, and that is challenging, isn't it? They know us the best, which means they've seen us at our worst. They know the buttons to push to kind of just, you know, they just want to irritate us a little bit. They like to be a little bit, what's the word, provocative. Like, they know how to do it really well. And when you're living with a bunch of, like, really adorable, wonderful people that you love who may or may not know the Lord, right? Like, I love you. You've been hearing about Jesus for like 7, 8, 10, 15 years, but you don't really know or have confidence you're a believer. It's hard to resist that temptation often to be provocative, right? And so they know how to do it really well because they know you well. They live with you. They see all of your preferences. They see all of your unsanctified opinions. My children have been known to tell me, Mom, you have strong opinions about that. I'm like, I guess I do. Okay. I'm glad I said it here and you told me. So being able to withstand those, challenges to love our children and not justify, well, I'm not going to love them because they provoke me or they're irritating, they're hard to love. And being willing to give up your preferences, be willing to give up even your needs, right? So I may go last serving myself dinner because I want to make sure everyone else has enough. If I need to, I can get something else out of the fridge. I'm going to make sure everybody else gets a towel at the beach first. If I need to, I could just share a bit of someone else's towel, right? And the list goes on and on. And oftentimes we make those sacrifices as mothers. We don't even really think about it after a while, right? Like when you've been doing it for decades, you're just like, this is just what I do. Until something happens and you're like, oh, I wasn't expecting to sacrifice in that way. Mm-hmm. And it's another opportunity for like that pumice stone. Okay, Lord, another opportunity to die to self. So this is a good opportunity. What are some areas where you felt like I was doing really well, and then the Lord revealed I wasn't yet as sacrificial as I thought I was in this particular way? Was it like I had to give up my sleep, and I thought I was in this season where I no longer had to do that, and then all of a sudden it happened to me? Or was it time? Was it I've gotten to a routine and everyone's taking naps, and all of a sudden someone decided they're not going to? Does anybody want to share what they did to help walk through that in a godly way? Linda, I know you must have an example.
Assuming you did walk through it in a godly way.
Let us learn from your mistake. Teach us.
No, it tends to catch you off guard. Yeah. And then you realize your expectations that you didn't even know you had. You know, that, and you start thinking you have the right to sleep, or the right to have peace and quiet, or the right to not have your children argue with one another. And then you realize, oh yeah, I don't have a right to any of that. Yeah. You know? So that is, it's very hard. You have to do a lot of speaking to your heart.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's hard.
Yeah. Then you realize after that, change of plans. Battle plan has changed.
Yes. Yes.
So then you go with it. It's kind of like, for me, when the little ones would grow, and I love this particular outfit on them, mm-hmm. and I'm like, it's a onesie. But I like it on you. I know I can snap it again. And it doesn't. I look at the outfit, and I'm like, that's it. They won't wear that outfit again. So it's the same kind of thing with that. It's like, this isn't, the afternoon nap is gone. Because he's five. But you can do something else. Like we instituted room time where they could rest, read, play. So after that initial, it's like, okay, what's our next plan of action? So,
what were some of the warning signs that you all have noticed? Like, uh-oh, something's happening. Like, why am I having so much trouble with this? Like, I've done this before. I've had kids transition out of naps before. I've not had sleep before. Why? What is going on? Are there some things that you've noticed, like, okay, this is my warning sign?
I was going to say, I don't have kids, but I can remember for my one sister, anyway, again, not this one, where, especially for girls, they get into puberty, and all of a sudden, the hormones and the anger and the crying and all those things that, you know, I dealt with as a sibling, but not as a parent. So I'm sure some of the parents have girls have had to handle.
I had one boy that came up to me and he started crying and he's hugging me. I don't know why I'm crying. He was like 14 and I said, I know why. You're not going to get the monthly thing, but your hormones are raging. And he's kind of emotional, very close to joyful, my daughter. So anyway. But the original, you were going to say something.
I was just going to say my warning sign is the anger that wells up inside.
In you or?
In me.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. In me.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I'm like, where is that coming from? Why do I feel angry? And it's that thing about, I thought I was over this. I thought I had the right to have this pleasure of a quiet house or whatever. And that's my, that was always my big warning sign, was I would feel the anger start to well up and my voice would get louder and I'd be like, what's happening? Where's this coming from? I want something and I'm not getting it. That's what it is.
So it's the next step of maturity for you and me, where it's like, okay, Lord, you're testing, it's a testing of our faith. To mature in this and grow.
Or revealing of, I thought that this was mine. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not.
It's an emotional response that reveals an idol in your heart.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So there's our warning, right? Mm-hmm. So when we start to feel angry that, you know, it's 2 a.m. and someone's fussy or sad.
Yeah. Oh, I went for the anger.
Yeah, I feel like I'm usually more on the anger end.
I tend to be anxious.
That's good, and I don't think when for it's me no it's different. Not like a blaring. It's just like I start to feel like prickly.
Yeah.
And irritated. I'm trying to muscle through. Like I'm okay, Lord. I'm gonna love you while I do this. It's like I'm not loving him, and it's very clear. My other children are like, "What's wrong with you? I just don't want to be doing this." You know,
or the veins popping out, Mom.
Yes, and they're old enough. Once they get old enough to recognize or call you out, I'm like, "Mom, what's okay? Why are you acting like this?" You know, I'm not acting like anything.
You were talking warning signs.
Yeah.
In the mom, as I guess I took it wrong because I was talking warning signs coming from the child. That you had to then handle.
That's okay, because puberty also brings out warning signs in the mom. So, you know, that's...
That is good to know. So that is what I think I want us to think about is, how do I know when I'm not doing a good job agape-loving my kids, dying to self-loving my kids, is when I start to have these anger or sorrowful feelings and I'm not going to the scripture with my feelings and filtering my feelings through, and I'm living in this attitude of, something I want is gone, and I want it, and I don't know how to get it. Okay, well, the first thing I need to want is the Lord, and that's why I'm having this tension. So I want us to open up to Proverbs 13 real quick, and then Galatians 5 before we start talking about a next section about being a believer. So let's go up to Proverbs 13, or back to, I guess it depends on where you opened in your Bible. Proverbs 13, 24... the favorite scripture at our house. Well, particularly was so about, I don't know, 15 years ago or so. But still relevant. Is anybody there who would like to read it? Awesome, thanks.
He who holds back his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently.
Okay, so here's an example of God's love poured out through us as parents. The way that we love our kids is by being diligent to discipline them. Not just, you know, like giving them cookies or Play-Doh or the fun things, right? So this is part of transforming our mind, is thinking in a God way about what does it mean to actually love my kids. Let's open up as well. Let's flip forward to the New Testament, to Galatians 5. All right, we're gonna look at the fruits of the Spirit in verses 22 and 23. Does anybody want to read that?
The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law.
So to ignore our children, so between these two verses, we can see we are called to display the fruits of the Spirit. This is what we should be doing as we are loving them. And we are called to discipline them. That's part of God's love that we are displaying to our children by being faithful. We actually hate them when we don't discipline them, even though it doesn't feel very loving at the moment. And this is so that we can instruct them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, Ephesians 6:4. So I want us to walk through, how do we love our kids in a godly way? This is our calling as a mom, is to love our nearest neighbors, right? We have the Lord and our husband, and now we're down here with all of these adorable sinners. It's like, how do we love them? And we're the chief, right? How do we love our children? So first we're gonna talk about, we are the Lord's. We belong to the Lord. That's how we love our children. Second, we're going to talk about, so what does that mean our motivation must be? And thirdly, let's talk about what true love looks like. So the first thing that we have to remember is that we don't belong to ourselves. Okay, so let's open up. Let's go back to Romans 5. I want to read I want to start in verse 1. I just want to keep backing up. It's so great. It's so bad. I mean, why are we just going to start in the middle of a sentence? Come on. So therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we've also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So if we are believers, God's love has been poured into our hearts. That's where I want us to keep that in our mind. Now flip over to Colossians 3. Okay, so look at verse 3 in chapter 3. If you are a believer, God's love has been poured into your heart by the Holy Spirit, and you have died and your life is hidden in God with Christ. So your life does not belong to yourself. So that is how we are going to be able to love our children. We must be willing to remember, one, I don't belong to myself. I am not this child's mother for my sake, nor this child's sake, but for the Lord's sake. I have been given this child as a gift to steward, to manage. I'm preparing them for adulthood. I'm raising them to be godly men, godly women. They're not going to be 6 or 2 or 10 forever, right? They're going to be grown-ups one day, Lord willing, and we want them to be prepared. And we don't want them to be inept, like, I can't do anything without my mommy. We want them to be able to make good, wise decisions and live in a godly way that pleases God and brings him glory, ultimately, right? So everything that's going to come out of us, it's only going to come out of us and be good if we're doing it through the Lord. It can't be for ourselves. It can't be on our own strength, because we're going to run out. And how do we get strength?
From the Lord.
Yeah. Going to the Bible. That's right. Going to the Lord. We have to be saturated in his word, going before him, saying, God, I cannot, but you can. I cannot, but you can. So constantly putting ourselves in the word, meditating on it, memorizing, prayer. So this can be hard when our kids are little. What are some things that you guys have found are helpful ways to really redeem that time, right? Ephesians 5, when we have little people and we're in need, we can't just go shut ourselves in a room for an hour and be like, okay kids, it's 8 to 9 a.m., it's mommy's Bible time. Don't destroy the house or each other, we're going to go study. What are some ways that you found that we can capitalize, redeem the time, and get God's word into us while we're still taking care of a house and small children?
I think one of the things, especially when the kids were little, that helped me was worship. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, we're going to sing loud and proud.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say music.
Yeah.
Definitely songs. We always had all those little CDs playing with all the godly fun songs. I can't remember them anymore, but if you put them on, I will start singing them with you.
Yeah. Yeah. Works. And I'm sure they've helped us memorize scripture.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Getting up early.
Yes.
Yeah.
Getting up really early. And then realizing, like, but I want to sleep, but I need sleep. Do you really need sleep? Do you need to keep this physical body that's only going to be here temporarily alive and healthy? Or do you need to nurture your spirit, which will live forever? Yes, Lord, I will get up really early and spend time with you.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, that's hard.
For me, it's staying up late.
Yeah.
I'm willing to get up with the kids, but after I put them to bed, I would rather do my study time.
I cannot.
That's me too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, I'm a night owl.
Yeah. Everybody.
Yep.
Yeah.
Whatever works.
I'm with you.
Yeah. Yes, so those are great, and there's not really an end to the list. Like, it could go on and on. And our body is full of women who are doing this very thing now. So if you're like, I don't know how, I'm struggling, go talk to them. Find these godly women around you who are living life with small children and say, what are you doing? How are you doing that? If you have free time, that's a way to bless them. Could I come over help with the laundry? Could I bring you a cup of coffee? Could I help you put your kids down for a nap and you can just go sit in your car in the driveway alone? you can just have a minute to be able to pray and be quiet, right? That is so important that we are not neglecting putting God's word into our mind, so that is where all of our source is. And if we think, well, I can just like survive on that sermon from Sunday and that will get me through and I will be fine for the week, You cannot. You will run out, and it will not be, I think the hardest, saddest part is that it often isn't apparent to us, right? Like Linda, you were saying, that can be anger, or, you know, Christina, you're mentioning sorrow. It will just start this little bubble of like, I'm just starting to think wrongly about things. I'm seeing my child's need for help as an inconvenience. I'm beginning to see my child's desire to play with me as an obstacle to me getting done what I want to get done, which doesn't mean my list of to-dos is illegitimate. It just means I'm no longer seeing things as opportunities that the Lord is bringing sovereignly to sanctify me. I'm seeing things as my kingdom that I need to control. And if anything starts to go wrong, I'm getting angry. Instead of, God, this is your world, and you're going to bring what I need to happen today. And if it didn't happen the way I expected, that must have been your plan. Mm-hmm. My plan wasn't your plan because I'm not God. that's the key that everything pivots on is, I belong to the Lord. My life is hid with Christ and God. Okay, so whatever's going to happen, I'm going to choose to love my children because I belong to the Lord. So now let's talk about our motivation. So, have you seen people who do not love the Lord who are very loving parents? Mm-hmm. Yes. Yep. Yes. So we can all agree, you do not have to love Jesus to like speak to your child gently, spend quality time with them, help them get a Band-Aid, right? Like there's a lot of people in the world who are very loving to their children. How is being a Christian different as a parent than just being a really nice, lost parent?
The motive. Mm-hmm. Whether you're doing it for the Lord or whether you're doing it for any other reason. Yeah. Are you trying to glorify God and teach your kids to glorify God, or are you doing it for anything else?
Yeah. I think also understanding, like, this is an eternal soul. Mm-hmm. It's not just right now, like, they have an eternity, and it just gives you that motivation of, you know, why you're doing this.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That this is I am pouring into an eternal soul that will live forever. Mm-hmm. I pray with the Lord. My efforts are not in vain when I'm doing my work for the Lord. So that is, you nailed it on the head, Christina. This is not a temporary job. This is a job that has eternal consequences, right? Mm-hmm. And we're not doing it for self. We're doing it for the Lord. So our motivation is, I want to love you, because just like we referenced earlier in 1 John 4:8, God is love. We know what love means because God first loved us. Mm-hmm. And we are able to love because of that. So when we go to meet our child's needs, we're thinking, I love the Lord. I want to help you because I love the Lord. It's not based on your lovability. Okay. And loving you is not based on my definition of love, right? We're going to talk about that in just a minute. Loving you is based on the Lord's definition of love. Mm-hmm. And I want to do all the things that Scripture talks about. So what does Scripture talk about as a parent? Nurturing, sacrificing, disciplining them. We just read in Proverbs 13. Even when we are grieving it, we know it's hard, right? And if you have been a parent, you know it's, there are moments where you have to discipline your child. And you're like, ugh. That age-old saying, this hurts me more than it hurts you. Mm-hmm. Maybe you thought that was a joke as a young child or teenager, and now you're the parent going, I don't want my child to miss this event or opportunity, but I know as a faithful parent, I cannot let them have or go to this thing because I know they need this discipline because of the choices they're making. I want to help them, but it hurts. Sometimes we're the person who has to miss out on the thing. You're not going and I'm staying home with you. This is doubly sorrowful for all of us. So our job is to bless them, to seek their good, to reprove them, to train them, encourage them. I love this reference. Let's turn over to Jude. This is very sobering. So look down at verses 20 to 23. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garments stained by the flesh. So thinking about as parents, we are attempting to snatch our children out of the fire by training them with truth, telling them about the Lord, pointing them to the Lord, telling them about the gospel, living our life in front of them. And our testimony is either upheld or torn down by our life in Christ before them. We are either living out, I love Christ and I truly depend on Him. I truly know Him. I desire to worship Him in everything. Or I don't. And they know because they live with us. You cannot be a hypocrite. Your children know. Like, the whole world may be fooled, but your children know. Your spouse knows. They watch you. And so being able, is your desire as your children to want to follow Christ, then you should be saying to them, follow me as I follow Christ. Mommy tells you, read your Bible, watch as I read my Bible. Mommy tells you to be willing to forgive, be quick to repent, be humble, be a good listener, serve others first. Don't esteem yourself high, but look to the interests of others. Defer, be patient. Then we model all of those things because we love the Lord, and our desire is that we want to love our children well and point them to the Lord. We don't want to raise hypocrites or Pharisees, right? We want to raise children who are very aware of what the true gospel is, that they are sinners and they need Christ. And that's all that mommy and daddy are telling them. Mommy and daddy aren't saying there's a method for you to get righteous, and it's, you know, these 12 steps. So my question is, how do we keep this eternal mindset in the daily? Like the mundane, I'm doing this with my children all the time. I'm living with them. How do I keep this daily mindset of like, okay, this is eternal. This is not just today. This is not just Thursday. This is not just another load of laundry. This is not I burned the dinner, right? How do we keep this eternal mindset? What do we do? Does anybody have any thoughts or input on that? It is hard not to think like, oh, okay, it's only Thursday. You know, or whatever day or thing it is, wherever your schedule is.
Deuteronomy 6, right? It's doing it while we walk, when we talk. It's just making it an ingrained part of our life. And then we never forget. We just live that way.
Well, even for any of us, whether we're a mom or dad or not, if you're not in the Word,
say the Word.
Then it's going to, every day is going to be Monday.
Yes. Yes. That our refuge is in the Lord. So that in the midst of those things, like, Lord, this is wonderful. This is a great Tuesday. We have nothing planned. I can't wait to get up and see what you have for me today. Lord, this day is stacked. I can't wait to see how you pull it off today because it's your day. Well, Lord, this day it wasn't stacked and now it is. Okay. Oh, well, here we go. You know?
And having, like, Bev was the one who encouraged me, having scripture memorized, when you need it, it's there, and it's just so important. And I've had opportunity, again, like, I'll talk about spending time with Kate, where, you know, I'll talk to her about something, and I'm able to pull scripture, and I'm like, wow, that is so helpful.
Yes.
As opposed to, it's just like me saying, hey, you need to, whatever it is.
Yes.
Piggybacking off of all of that, I found that having a discipler or someone who checks in with you every once in a while, especially if it's a variety of people, it really orients my mind. My mind, because oftentimes they're able to speak into it with, like, I don't know, a renewed prompt of like, what can I be praying for? It already makes you think like, oh my goodness, prayer, right, eternal, right. Like, it reminds you of that, because you can get, especially if you're not working in a Christian environment, you can easily get sidetracked about people's concerns and their complaints and their worries, and you start to grumble yourself. So, it's helpful.
And even for accountability.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, that check-in of, like, how is blank? Oh, I forgot I even talked to this person about that, like, 3 weeks ago or last Saturday. And, oh, yes, that's right. I want to be, you know, more intentional with this child about that thing. That's right. And it reminds you. So, all right, so let's talk about what love is. Let's turn over to First Corinthians 13.
I've never heard
that. I know, me either.
Sorry, First Corinthians 13.
The first time you said it, I was like, what?
All right. I did hear Pastor Mark say from the pulpit, first best one time. And I was like, oh, good. I'm glad I'm not the only person. <heard that one. laughs> We're just shortening everything, guys. Okay. Yes. So let's take a look. Let's start in verse 4. So let's read about the definition of God's love. Now, we've all heard this before, but let's try to see it with new eyes. Just look at it. Let's really think about it, okay? Don't daydream or check out because we've heard it before. All right, who would like to read? Let's read these verses here, 4 through 8. And then verse 13 as well would be great to throw that in there.
I'm happy to read it.
All right, great. Yeah, go right ahead.
Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. You want me to jump to 13?
Yes.
So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love.
Amen. All right, so here is a painful challenge for us. Imagine reading this and putting in there, dying to self. For self-sacrifice, right? If you put your name in there, could you stand by that? You feel like you could confidently be like, yeah, Megan is patient. Megan is kind. Would there be, like, at the wedding, you know, where the pastor will say, and I have not actually seen this, but you see it in a movie. So I'm like, wait, if there's anybody who, you know, feels as though this union should not occur, speak now or forever, hold your peace. Do you feel like everyone would hold their peace if they heard you say this at your house? Oh, yeah, mom is for sure patient and kind. Or would they be like, objection, mom was quite rude today to me, right? So think about that as you're reading through this. This is a good test for you. Am I patient? Not just when my husband's home and hears my tone with my children. Am I patient when no one is listening? Wait, except the Lord's always listening. Mm.
Okay. When I was reading it, I was just like, oh.
It's slightly convicting, isn't it? Like, I am not as patient as I... So, what do we do when we start to see this, the kindness of the Lord in convicting us? Repent.
Apologize.
Walk in obedience, and then turn the opposite direction. Okay, Lord, this is clear. I am not patient or kind. I do tend to be jealous or bragging or arrogant. So, Lord, bring me opportunities. Help me remember, right, 1 Cor 10:13, that there's no temptation that is not common to man, that I'm facing the same temptations everyone else is facing. I can endure this temptation and not sin through Christ. Help me to endure it. I want to grow in it, which means you're going to bring it. Like, if you pray for patience, get ready. You're going to only have long lines at the grocery. You will be stuck behind the slowest drivers. Whatever the, right? And, okay, Lord, I want this, but I don't want it, but I want it. So help me be ready because I don't want it, but I want it. Okay, amen. And you're just there. You're like, okay, here we go. Every step, Lord, I want, but I don't want, but I do. Okay, this is how I get there, right? So let's turn the page. Let's talk about some practical how-tos. Before we talk about some of these how-tos, I want to talk about...
We don't have this page, right?
Not yet. I don't think you do. I think Mary does. It's this page right here. It has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 on here. How-tos.
Now, every week you read stuff and I've never seen any of
it. I know you don't have everything because one day it'll be published and then you'll have everything. You have a resource list. Okay, so you have a resource list. So just maybe you could flip it over and make notes on the backside. Mm-hmm. So before we talk about some of these ways to love your children, I want to ask you if our life is hidden with Christ in God, and if our motivation for loving our children is because we are first loved by God, how well will you do loving your children apart from the Lord?
You'll fail.
Like -1,000, right? Yeah. Terrible. Okay, so what are you doing to make sure that you are putting yourself constantly in that place where you're like, I belong to the Lord, I'm loving myself with the Lord. We talked about I'm memorizing, I'm waking up early, I'm singing songs, I'm putting scripture in my heart and in my mind, and I'm seeking counsel and accountability from others. So that's our consensus here is this is how I'm going to be faithful in the Lord to continue to grow, even if I'm living my life in my house all week long with my children and my husband. And even if I can't make it to women's study, I'm in a season where I can't do that. I'm at church on Sunday. I am still being faithful in these ways to grow. And God has promised, he's given us a body, he's given us his word. If we're faithfully coming into the body, he's going to bless that. That's his way of growing us. Any input on that?
Another way he grows us is through the trials.
Mm-hmm.
When you're going through the trial with your child, or that extra, I'm getting angry again, okay, another, you know, those trials, you know, as James 1, 2 through 4, consider it all joy.
Mm-hmm.
When you encounter those trials, it's a testing of your faith to produce endurance. So anyway, I think that is kind of part of that. A quick illustration, I was in high school soccer by some miracle, because I wasn't very athletic. I think they were in need of girls' soccer team, and it was like I did pretty good on the broad run, and you want to be on the soccer? Sure, I'll do it. The thing that killed me was, okay, first practice, we will run the field 20 laps. 20 laps, and I thought I was going to die. We did that for a month every day, Monday through Friday. But then when we were in the game, and I'm running up and down that field, I didn't get pant.
Mm-hmm.
Endurance.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I even would, you know, tell my kids. It's like, that's endurance. Mm-hmm. So when we're going through what we're going through with our children, when you think you got it licked, and then all of a sudden you have that side thing, you're okay, it's another opportunity to grow. Having that mindset of love or whatever, you know, you're going through with the Lord in the Word of God, it's mm-hmm. extremely... Having that mindset is extremely important.
Paul Tripp in the Age of Opportunity book, he starts out by saying, like, the mindset of the world is that, like, we're going to survive getting our children out into the world. We're going to survive, and our children are going to survive. We're going to call that a win. But we're actually supposed to be looking at every opportunity and saying, I get to do this.
Mm-hmm.
This is an opportunity to shepherd my child.
Mm-hmm.
This is time well spent.
Well, even as another thing that when Bev and I went through, I can't remember which study it was, but you talk about the put-offs and the put-ons. You can't
yeah.
just have the put-off part. You have to have something else to fill it. So if, you know, you don't have patience, then you got to have whatever the opposite of it is.
Well, put on impatience, put on patience. But then
yes.
the fourth thing is a plan.
Yeah.
If you don't have a plan for the next time you are tempted
yes.
to sin, you most likely will sin all over again.
Right.
And it's just having that simple 1, 2, 3. It doesn't have to be a complicated plan.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So, but using those put-ons to... craft the plan.
Wait, did you say 1, 2, 3 because you would count so you wouldn't lose
no,
your
that's
temper.
An interesting thing. No, mine was, I've got to go, it's kind of like Susanna Wesley would put her apron over her head and pray, and the kids were like, don't bother her, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I would go in my room, shut the door, say, I'll be with you in a minute, kids. And I had my plan right there, you know, pray, quote a scripture, and go back out there and be kind for the Lord.
Yes. I just closed my eyes. Even my husband knows my eyes are closed. Just give me a minute.
There you go. There's different aspects.
I like that you mentioned that, Bev, because that's part of the walking out the theology that we're learning is not this like ethereal, like, okay, pray and memorize the scriptures, and it's all just kind of floating around in there, but like
right.
thinking intentionally about our life. If we are thinking that through. So one of the things that I'll do is I'll look at my week and I'll say, okay, what's happening this week? I'm not just thinking practically like, okay, well, we're having company Friday, so I need to do this on Thursday or Wednesday or Tuesday. We're eating these meals. Like, these are all parts of being a homemaker. But I'm also thinking about, where are the pressure points in my schedule? Where does it get tight, right? Like, there's certain spots on the interstate or driving where you're like, oh, it gets clogged there. There's a lot of people at certain times of day, a lot of cars, and it's hard to flow. Okay, where are the tight spots in my schedule that I know I'm going to need to have, like, an abundance of grace for my kids? It's going to be hard. Or I need to be wise with my energy at that. Like, we are maybe coming in and leaving again, so I'm not making a big dinner. That's going to be sandwiches night. Okay, that's wise.
Right.
That put everybody in a stress, like, pressure cooker, like, cleaning and doing all this. This is unnecessary. My job is to make those things run smoothly. That's I'm the manager of all these things. So thinking, okay, now where are my sin spots? Where do I, oh, okay, like maybe hypothetically it's Sunday morning, just speaking, you know, vaguely but also specifically, I tend to be a sinner on Sunday morning. Other week times of the week, I'm fine if we're running a minute late, but Sunday morning, all of a sudden, it's not okay. Yeah. So what can I do to be ready for that? I can make sure that my heart is remembering, like James 1:19. Mm-hmm. Megan, your righteousness isn't earned through your anger. If you get angry about your kids running late or can't find a shoe, this is not the righteous life that God desires you to be living. So keep yourself from that. Remember, you're not getting something that you want, James 4. Ask God to help you to walk with patience, and then practically prepare. Make a plan. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what am I going to say, hypothetically, when my son comes in the bedroom and he's got a shirt on it, it's got a huge stain on it? Honey, why don't you go pick up another shirt? Okay, yes, I can say that. That would be great. I'm going to say that. What can we do? And to prepare beforehand, right? But there's always, the Lord knows that that's where maybe you need to grow, and he's going to keep bringing the pressure so that you are like that cheap piece of meat. You're going to get nice and tender. So he's going to keep bringing the pressure, right? Like, we got all the clothes out. We ironed and steamed them. We got out all the shoes. We set out granola bars. I had everything ready, and somehow they still couldn't find their Bible or socks. And, yep, the Lord knew. He was sovereign over that, because if he wanted you to have had all that, you would have. Look what's coming out of you in that moment. Okay, great. So having a plan, what am I going to say, and modeling it even in your mind, how am I going to handle this? My daughter or son has this opportunity. They're going to come home and talk to me about it, and I'm going to ask questions. How am I going to respond if they are disappointed? Okay, I'm going to be gracious and loving the way I would want someone to be gracious and loving to me in a disappointment. I'm not going to press them for more info. I'm going to offer them a hug or a drink or something. And just running through it in my mind, that might be on Saturday. And I might be thinking about my week Monday morning. But just getting ready helps me, so when I get there, I'm not caught off guard. What do you mean it was a disappointment? Tell me why. I want to impress it, right? And just like, I'm blindsided. I'm just living like by the seat of my pants. Instead of living intentionally, carefully considering, how am I walking in a godly way before my children? How am I honoring the Lord in all of my interactions, even the unplanned ones? Because there will be ones that are unplanned, right?
Those are... That's what I was going to say about it. It is a balance, because, you know, I can plan much easier being a single person. But you still have to hold it loosely. You have to hold that schedule loosely, because things can come up, and you have to be willing to happily change your plans.
Yes.
Because the Lord has something else for you. Yes. Like my poor sister who ended up in the emergency room with me when I broke my elbow.
Yes. Happily. Okay, Lord, I'm willing. Whatever you want to do.
That's all.
She kept saying, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm like, this is what the Lord had planned for us today. So, like,
and Kate called it.
What are you going to do?
All right, this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
All right, so as we go into these how-tos, I want to say a quick word to, about, as we're going through these, you may or may not have done these or are doing these. That's okay. This is like a buffet of options. We're talking about things that you can do to live biblically in your home as a mother. If you hear these and you're like, man, I'm not doing those, don't run away from that. That's not a bad thing. Take those feelings to the Lord, okay? Now, in that, there could be, the Lord is prompting you, like, you've been neglecting this. You haven't been faithful in this area. That's not a bad thing. That's a gift of grace. Conviction is a kindness from the Lord. But we want to make sure we're filtering that through Scripture. We don't want to try to fix something that we should have been doing with just actions, right? Behavioral modification. That's going to be trying to, like, put on righteousness by our traditions. And so I want us to look at Isaiah 64:6 real quick, just so you know, this is not Megan making this up. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We do not want to try to put on polluted garments and be righteous before the Lord. Okay, I'm hearing about traditions and I don't have any. Oh no, I'm terrible. I've been neglecting that. I hate doing those and I've been putting it off on purpose. Okay, we'll start traditions. Take it to the Lord and say, Lord, is this truly, am I convicted? Have I been really neglecting this because I don't want to do this? And then if it's not, then just say, okay, Lord, well, maybe we could do this. I'll take it to my husband. Honey, do you want to have traditions? What do you think? And really, with all of these, you should be doing that. But I just want to say, as we talk about that, sometimes there can be a temptation to feel like, man, I haven't done any of these things. I've just been, like, trying to be faithful to tell my kids about Jesus and do a lot of repenting myself. And that's not a bad thing. Take all of this to the Lord and say, Lord, what do I need to change? Is there anything I need to do differently? And then be willing to change or not to. Let your husband kind of give you guidance. He may not want you to do the things that you're like gung-ho about. So considering yourself a servant, you should definitely do that. Consider yourself a servant. So when your children are little, they're going to do a lot of childish things that aren't necessarily sinful. They're just going to be kids. They're going to want to be like stomping in rain puddles, for instance. You're like, I don't know why you want to do that. But it's not sinful per se. It's just fun. They want to just go put their feet in the water, right? Come alongside them and bless them. Sure. Go jump in the rain puddle. Sounds great.
Christina's right there.
Christina will jump in the puddle with them. Help them to pursue what they love as they get older. Help them to consider, what is it that you want to do? How can I help you do that? Are you interested in art or painting? Let's go pick out some paints. Would you like to try playing a musical instrument? Would you like to go look go to the zoo because you enjoy animals? Try to come alongside them and bless them. Not thinking, oh man, this is super inconvenient. Could you be interested in something that's really more like up my alley or less expensive or closer to home or something I understand? I once heard a mom talk about a son that she had who was very, very gifted thinking about physics and astronomy and stars and constellations, and that was like way out of her wheelhouse. And so she found a college student who was in their church who loved those things, very gifted, and she set up a meeting with her son from time to time with him, and teenage son, at the coffee house with his college student, and they would just talk, and he'd pick his brain, and it was just like magical for her son. And she's like, I can't keep up. He will get back in the car and talk and talk. But just the way that she was looking for a way to bless her son, recognizing I don't have every resource within myself, but God has blessed us. We're in a body here. We have all these resources. And people who have lived here for a long time, you're like, I don't know what to do about this. Tell me. And they can tell you and give you input. Mm-hmm. If you have any input on that, think about what you could share. Let's turn over to Mark 9 while we think about that. Mark 9. All right, verse 35. Would anybody like to read?
Sitting down, he called the 12 and said to them, if anyone wants to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all.
That's us, servants of all.
I think there's a balance. To just say, consider yourself a servant of your children, I've seen that taken to the nth degree. Mm-hmm. And I think there needs to be balance there. Yes, to love is to serve. But if it's not done properly, our children can think that they are very important and that we are just their servants. And
yes.
So I think there needs to be a balance there.
Yes, that's a good point. Yes, that is a good point. And challenging because we have to say things sometimes that other people don't say to our children. And likewise, we're teaching them to be servants. And at the same time, don't expect that mommy's only job is to serve you. Mm-hmm. Like, mommy's here to serve everyone. Right. One of the phrases we've adopted in our family is, when the kids will ask me to do something and I'm not able. Like, I'm serving someone else and they want me to also serve them. Mm-hmm. Particularly at like meal times, right? They're already sitting, everyone's gathering at the table. Oh, mom, will you grab me a fork or some water or whatever? And I'm serving the plate. So feel free to serve yourself, buddy. I would love to serve you. I'm in the middle of doing another serving job, but you can come serve with me, you know, and trying to invite them to remind them, you know, mom is here to serve, but I'm not only your servant. I belong to the Lord and he's put me here to serve everybody. So I can't stop and just be for you only. Or I want you to become a good servant, so I want you to try to do this now. But yes, that is a very good, I would say that is a very good point, and that ties in nicely when we were talking about keeping our homes in a previous week, having your children come alongside you and training them to be good workers in the home. If you do all the chores to serve your children, you're actually doing them a disservice because you have no longer provided an opportunity for them to become equipped as young adults to learn how to do laundry or sweep the floor. I watch young people when they come in my house and I make notes. This young person got up and served and no one asked them to. They just got up and started doing it. And it is not common. There are lots of kind, godly, sweet, honorable young people that come in my house. But there are very few who get up and serve without being asked. They just get up and start washing a dish. And you're like, wow, I'm right. Their name is written down.
I actually had a friend of mine call me one time because she wanted to compliment my son because she said he came in the house and he took off his shoes without being asked. And then when we were cleaning up from dinner, he got up and he cleared the table without being asked and he started and it was like, what? And I was like, ooh, doesn't do that at our house.
I was going to say.
Thank you for sharing. I'm so glad to hear this. Now, if I could just get him to do it at home, and home, he's like, too tired, I have to go to the bathroom.
But I love that.
It was
that's
really
so
nice
sweet.
To hear that because it feels like you know that you're having an impact in a way that's mm-hmm. meaningful.
Yes, that's mm-hmm. exactly right.
Yeah, we always get to see the ugly side.
Yes.
You know, and then we can't really know what our children are like till they're in somebody else's house. And then yes. you get reports back and you go, yes.
Right. Yeah, it's so helpful to hear because you're like struggling at home sometimes.
Yeah,
with them.
Right.
To hear
right.
that, to say, yes. wait, they do know what they're supposed to be doing.
Right,
yes.
Right. They try to do it.
And I think that is important. Like, we serve our children when they're too little.
Yes.
We have to do all the cooking and everything, but then it's really important to bring them in, into that serving, and we are going to cook, and we are going mm-hmm. to clean up, and we... And then eventually it becomes, now it's your responsibility.
And then they leave.
I know, just when they get good at stuff. Yeah.
And you have to do it all yourself again.
I'm not there yet. Hire a cleaning lady.
I'm not there yet.
I think, too, I like to encourage, like, even in our church, body, because, like, during VBS, we had one of the kids that was helping us in the kitchen, and he was phenomenal. He, like, took charge. He was getting stuff done, and I made sure I went to his mom and said, you know, he was such a big help. We really enjoyed having him in the kitchen. She was like, thank you for sharing that. Because it's an encouragement, like you mm-hmm. said, to a parent to hear that. And we have a lot of, like, maybe you don't get all the good ones in your house, but there are a lot of good young people that like to serve in this church. I'm always surprised because I'll be doing something, and they come right alongside you, and they're like, can I carry that table? Can I, you know, yes. whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. So, and I love to, like I said, encourage the parents with how their kids. Yeah, you're, remember the time I was putting stuff, you sent your boys in and I was putting stuff up in the pantry and they were great, you know.
Yeah, I love that. And likewise, as parents, it's great when people take you up on that offer. Like, please call on us if you need help. Our kids need lots of opportunities to serve, not just at home, mm-hmm. but to see, like, the serving mm-hmm. skills that we practice at home mm-hmm. is to equip you for the real world. Mm-hmm. This is what living life yeah. outside looks like. If someone might need your help, but they may not say it. We want to be people, as believers, who are looking around saying, who can I bless? Who needs help? Who needs to be loved? Not, everybody look at me. Who's going to come love me and accept me and pull me in and invite me, right? We want to be the opposite. That's the world is like, me. We want to be others focused for the Lord's sake. So let's talk about giving them childhood memories. That's another wonderful thing that we can do to love our children. Giving them, as much as it's up to you, a safe, happy, loving childhood. Obviously, we don't have control over all things, but we can make memories with them by playing games with them, having fun inside family jokes, taking trips, just sitting and listening to them, like you mentioned, Jennifer, being with them, taking walks, playing outside, showing them and talking to them about the Lord in all things and the blessings that God has given us even by putting us in a family together. That is something that we often mm-hmm. talk about because of the challenges of being in a family, reminding them it is a blessing to be in a family, even though it may be challenging to hear or see other people and their sin, and you have to share space with them. There's challenges that come with that. They give you their opinion about your life, whether you ask for it or not. And the more people you have, the more opinions there are. But it is a blessing, and being helping them to see that this is a gift from God, that He's giving you this family. And this is not an accident. This is the exact family He wanted you to have. And your position in the family is where He wanted you to be, whether you're the first or the third or the tenth. He wanted you in that position. This was God's perfect plan for you. Anybody have anything they want to add on that? Giving good memories as a kid, how you can help your kids to have good memories. Okay, traditions. I am terrible at this, I will confess. But I wrote next to this, ask a friend if you're bad at it. So I have friends who are really good at it, and I just steal their routines. And for a long time...
There's a book on that.
What?
By Gloria Gaither, maybe? Oh, wow.
About traditions?
Traditions.
Yes.
For kids. Hmm. I can't remember the full title.
It might be too late for me. But I'll get grandkids soon.
Yeah, maybe not.
You never know. Mm-hmm. You can add traditions.
You can start traditions now with your kids.
Okay.
You can. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Christmas traditions, Thanksgiving traditions, birthday traditions.
Yes.
You live in a new state, too, so technically that gives you a restart.
Most of the things that I did with the kids, like, have tapered off. And they're like, oh, yeah, we did that when you were little. Okay. Yeah.
So, you know, Christmas was always fun because my kids always loved all the boxes come out of the attic and we put the tree up together, we put the music on and we do all that, but then they hit the teenage years and, I mean, the boys were like, oh, really, Mom? We have to put up a tree.
You just need to bring home an ugly tree. 1 year.
No, we had a fake tree, so it was the same tree.
I was going to say, and then the next year they'll all go, let me go with you.
But not helping you pick out the it's having to then take all the decorations off was the worst part and put everything away. They hated that part of it. But it's so funny because as much as they complained, then when we were trying to clean out and get rid of stuff and I was going to get my son walked in one time and we hadn't really put much up for Christmas because we weren't going to be celebrating there at the house and it was just my husband and I now and they were all off on their own and he was like, oh, but I miss all the decorations and all the, and the Santa who used to sit by the front door and the, I was like, really? Oh, you liked all that stuff even though you complained about it. We were doing it. It did
mean
something.
Part of the tradition.
It's part of the tradition. It became part of the tradition, but it does matter to them. One of my favorite traditions with my kids was at the dinner table, and we would each go around and talk about the best part of our day, the hardest part of our day, you know, those just to, or sometimes we'd have a question that we'd all have to answer, you know, just to have like a box of questions that just to get to know each other better and just to facilitate conversations, you know, and practice listening skills and that kind
of
thing.
When we had a hot tub, we'd do that. Mm.
Oh, I like that.
Hot tub.
I
like
that
too.
Hot tub
on the table.
Yeah. I miss
it. But you could do it around the table.
Or I could get another hot tub. I mean, that was my 40th birthday present. You know, like, I'm turning 44 on Monday. If Matt tries really hard, he could have it there.
You tell him it's good for the arthritis, too. Yeah.
Oh, it is.
I know.
But then he loses me every night unless he goes with me.
A fun thing that we did, you just reminded me, and we haven't done this in a while, but I feel like last year we, like, maybe once every couple of months, we'd build a fort as a family, sit inside, and then we'd do three things I love about you. So each sibling has to say three things they loved about, like, a particular sibling. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because as we were introducing it, we're like, a lot of times we just think about the negatives of your siblings. You guys always fight, all of this. So for some people, it was really hard to think of three things that they love about this person. But it was interesting because it was just, like, things that you didn't even think that they would love, you know? And it's just like, or they would say, you know, to my husband and I, things that they loved about us. And I was like, I love when we cook together. And I'm like, we cooked like once together, but that was like the thing that they just loved. So it was, they loved doing that.
I love that.
Now you can bring it back.
Sweet. I would use that kind of thing when they were upset with each other. As a way to like say, hey, you know, you're upset, but now let's also think about all the wonderful things. So take a moment. And when you're ready, you can come tell your sibling what you love about them and why they're important to you to kind of make amends and
remind us to be grateful
or to hug. Oh my gosh, they used to get sometimes they'd be like, don't make us hug it out, Mom.
You just chose your own punishment.
Great job letting me know. So it's never too late to start the traditions. I feel like that was a good point there, Linda. You can replace the old traditions that have died away if no one in your house is little anymore with new traditions. We've had traditions before that I didn't think were about important until I didn't do them. And then someone was like, you didn't do this? I'm like, you don't even partake. What? Okay, I guess we're doing it every year.
You know, there's just a certain underlying comfort and like a sense of stability there. That things are the same.
Yes.
And I think that's really important, especially to young kids.
Yes. It's, but I think even as they are getting older and they're leaving home, but they're like, I don't really have my own home or family, or it's just getting started. It's like, there will always be mom and dad doing this. They'll always be getting the Christmas tree and doing the snowman at the door or whatever, right? Like, they know it will be that way, and that brings them comfort. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, well, I guess we're just going to keep doing this. And our kids tease us about some of those things. We always have Bible time and breakfast before we open presents on Christmas, and our kids have teased us mercilessly about it. Because it often means they're the last people to open presents. And then there was that one year, there was a Christmas on a Sunday, and they're like, can we open presents before church? And I was like, what are you talking about? We're going to get up at 5 a.m. and eat breakfast and read the Bible and open presents and then go to church? And they're like, well, so-and-so. And I was in a neighborhood where it's like they can just stick their head out the door and ask friends what they're doing. And I'm like, I'm sorry. Some may, we may not, to quote Jerry Rag. We're not doing that. And then we got to church and it's like, so-and-so is already open. They got a buy ground. She's like, that sounds awesome. I'm so glad for them. That's, you can tell them at 3 p.m. what you got. Because that's probably how long it's going to take. But that's just the way that we've always done it. And now it's like a comforting, fun tradition. They all laugh. The older, you know, ones who have gone out, coming back home for holiday, and everyone laughs. They're like, oh yeah, and we're going to, you know, have breakfast and an hour Bible time, right, Dad? And he's like, probably. You know, it's like, yeah, that's what we're going to do. That's what we do. That's our family tradition, whether you want it or not.
And they do change. Like, you know, we used to do a birthday cake for Jesus when my kids were very little, and we would actually sing happy birthday to Jesus because I wanted them to understand what Christmas was. Mm-hmm. Now, prime rib for dinner on Christmas because they're older. Yeah. And so it's like, they start weeks in advance. We are having prime rib right now.
We are. It's all about the food.
We are having prime rib. Yeah. We no longer do a birthday cake, but we do prime rib.
Mm-hmm. So, and that is a tribute to Jesus, right?
Yeah. He created the cows. So. I love that. But no, so you do. You change your traditions, but they're just as important. I mean, they really do. My son who works at Publix, I talked to the butcher. They are putting prime rib on sale, so we can do that again for Christmas. Okay, thanks, love.
Actually, it's because they do it every year because they have huge sales. The particular rib.
Yeah. Right. So it's a good tradition because it coincides with the sale.
I love it.
So there's the Thanksgiving one. Have you guys ever done the turkey, the Thanksgiving thankful turkey?
Oh, is it giving thanks for all different
things?
This was
like
things?
The whole month of November.
Yes.
Every night at the table, everybody would get a feather. And you would write what you were thankful on the feather. And then I had a turkey body on the wall, and every night we would then add. So by the end of, by Thanksgiving, the whole wall was filled with colorful, there were construction paper feathers I had cut out, but it was so fun.
That was so fun.
And then we could go around at Thanksgiving and read them all out.
I love that. We started a new tradition last year for Christmas, which is Christmas is whatever we decide we're going to make that food, which I was like, this is a good tradition. Mm-hmm. So starting new ones, because it was like Thanksgiving was like Thanksgiving food. And everyone's like, we don't want to make that again for Christmas. Mm-hmm. So one of the kids goes, let's make Cuban food. I'm like, okay, Cuban Christmas. Mm-hmm. So we make Cuban food. And then this year it's like, what are we going to make this year? And it's like, oh, this is great.
Cuban.
That's fun.
Cuban.
Oh, I thought you said human food. I'm like, isn't it awful?
Human.
Yeah. So it's kind of
like, are you
like,
going cannibalistic there? Like, what's going on?
No. But letting our kids be a part of that too, like you were saying, can we have this tradition? It's like, okay, sure. Like, this isn't my family, it's our family. What, you want to start a new tradition? Okay, yeah, let's start that tradition. What should it be?
Right.
I'm always surprised at what kids remember too. That something that's meaningful to them that didn't necessarily stick with you. Like, my sister up north will tell me all the time, kids remember, you always came to their basketball games and their softball games and their this and their that. And I'm like, I don't remember going to all their games, but for them, they remember that Aunt Sue was in the stands and Aunt Sue saw me play.
Well, that's huge to kids.
Yeah.
That's huge.
I mean, somebody that's
watching them.
I love that.
We did for Thanksgiving one year, we did the whole year before we started the day after Thanksgiving. Putting things, when things would happen, writing it on a little note and putting it in a box. So then after dinner on Thanksgiving, we opened it up and things we did not remember that we were thankful for. Like this one you know, almost got hurt this way or something like that. And it was really cool to sit and read mm-hmm. that whole, I still have the box with all the things in it.
Ooh. Some yeah. people start that at New Year's, some do it for the year. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And at the end of the year, read over the things they were thankful for.
Yeah.
It's done it in a jar.
Yeah. Mm.
Yep.
That's cool.
Oh, well, there's some great ideas for us. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So some of the other ideas for here for how-tos are not making your children the center of your home. Mm-hmm. I think we've spoken about that in more than one session. But the Lord and your spouse come first. Then children. Make sure that your kids know that. A strong marriage will stand firm under the pressures of child rearing. And there are pressures. So make sure that you're going to the Lord and that you and your spouse are together. You're united on the things that you're presenting and bringing before the children. Don't let your children divide you, nor your goal is not to make them happy all the time, right? Mm-hmm. But remember what we discussed, what true godly love looks like. We should be about the business of teaching and training and molding our children for the Lord. And life is difficult at times. We want them to be prepared for that. If we have only given them a saccharine, sugary, sweet childhood, they will be ill prepared for life. Mm-hmm. We want them to be able to have experienced disappointment before they're outside of our home. We want them to have wrestled with difficulty in communication with people, or expectations not being what they wanted, or failing at something they tried really hard at. We want those things to come out while they're with us so we can give them truth and help them to walk through that. Mm-hmm. Another thing we want to make sure that we're doing is being gracious to them, especially when we're in a season of, they're in a growing pressure season. I know you sometimes experience this as a believer, right? Where it's like, Lord, I just feel like you're showing me all of my sin all the time. I really thought I was not an angry person, but I feel like that's all you're showing me, whatever it is, right? I thought I was so disciplined and I'm not, or fill in the blank, right? I didn't think I was covetous and then all of a sudden this is happening. I'm quite discontent. It just goes on and on. Being gracious. Yes, and how kind is the Lord to us? He's continually refreshing us when we come to Him. He gives us promises in His word that He's our refuge, that He cares for us, that He will support us, that He's merciful. We want to be that way to our children. We want to consider the season they're in. We want to consider even the time of day that they're going through. Like, maybe bedtime isn't the best time to bring up a really deep, heavy conversation. If they're fatigued or hungry, this is probably not the time to give them a big reproof. Like, just considering them, love them, meet their needs, and then also see ways to encourage them to grow in godliness without just crushing them under the weight of, like, fix this, you need to do this, love the Lord, and I love you. Okay, see you tomorrow, right? We want to be, you know, you look like you're a little bit discouraged. Can I help you? What can I? 1 Thess 5:14 says that we are to admonish the unruly, to encourage the faint-hearted. I need to get the scripture in front of me.
And help the weak.
And help the weak. Thank you. I'm like, I'm
be patient with
it.
Them all.
And be patient with them all. So we thank you, ladies. So we need to really consider, where's my child? And what are they going through right now? And how can I love them and be gracious to them? Not see our children as like a place for us to vent, right? Especially if we're in a season where it's just like, I'm really seeing that my child was not as well-trained as I thought. Go to the Lord, prayerfully consider, what do I need to talk to them about, Lord? There's a lot of things I could. What's like the top one I need to bring up right now? Mm-hmm. And just graciously bring that one, maybe. Not all 10 or whatever at once. That's a lot. God doesn't do that to us. He's very kind to us. Mm. Does anybody have anything they want to share about that? All right, focus on your children. Which seems ironic after we just said children are not the center of your home. But focus on them. They are your mission field. When you're with them, be with them. Right? Like, my children know if I am texting, I'm not, it's like a phone conversation. If I'm like, I'm talking to Daddy, you need to wait. And I know you don't see me talking, but he's talking to me and I have to give him information. Mm-hmm. And then I'm done and I put it away and you have my eyes and I'm looking at you and we're talking. But be there. Don't let yourself be distracted when you're with them. And remember, they are your mission field. They are the people who are looking to you. You have an enormous amount of influence over them when they're young, and even when they're older. They're thinking back on all the things you said when you were with them when they were younger. They're remembering your words. They're calling you when they're in their 20s. Mom, I need wisdom. I need encouragement. Help me.
That is so important, because sometimes you can live life and think the children are getting in the way. And instead, no, that's my full-time job, is to raise them in the fear and admonition of the Lord.
Yes. So that is what you are doing, and that was one of the best pieces of advice I got when I was in the difficult season with young kids, was I was trying to train them in a nap time area, and I was getting frustrated that I was trying to have naps and then get things done. And my kind friend looked at me and she said, you need to just pause, you know, check this in with your husband. But if your goal is to train them for this, in this area, this napping area, you need to, this is what you are doing right now. Like the dishes, the reading your book, whatever, that's not, this is the main thing. And if you accept that, you won't be angry that you couldn't go do those things. Make this the main thing. Set in your mind, this is my main thing. Those other things, they may happen, but this is what's going to happen. This is the priority. Affirm your children. So make sure, like Beth, you were talking about studying your children, and there's one of these worksheets, the resources talks about studying your children and filling in their favorites and also their strengths and weaknesses. And my husband and I usually spend at least once a year, sometimes when they're younger, particularly it's twice a year. Like as they get older, sometimes a lot of these things are like, oh, praise God, we don't have as much things this time to talk about. But there are years where it's like, this takes an hour to go through all of our kids. Like this child and then this child, and what are their strengths and weaknesses? Where do we need to shore up? Where do we need to train? What are we doing that's not working or working? So study them and then help them. If you notice that they love something, bless them with it as much as you can. You love ants. I got you an ant farm. I found this at the, you know, thrift store. I went and I ordered this thing for you. I knew you'd love it. Or I arranged this time for us to go talk to someone. Or I had a child who really loved dogs. So one year for their birthday, I arranged a time for us to go spend time with a friend who was in the canine department. And his dog, he took his dog to the field and did all these tricks. My son was 5 and he was just like, nothing. He's like very quiet. He takes a while to process. And I tucked him in at bed that night and I was like, what did you think? And he was like, this was the best day ever. And then he's like listing his siblings. We need to take them to go see this. They would be so great. And the dog's name was Grady, but he thought the dog's name was Gravy. So that was awesome. But it was so sweet. Like it was like payoff, you know? Studying and blessing my son. All right, then the last one on here is talking about giving your children the fences they need. That's like a whole session in and of itself.
Sure
is. Essentially giving your kids boundaries and then sticking to them because you love them, because they'll find the edge of the fence and then just like push. At whatever age. Because they're like, do you really mean it? Will you really keep me safe? Do you really want to protect me? Is this really for my good? It really is. I really love you.
I always did it as the, instead of fences, I talked about it as being the bumpers that they put on a bowling alley for kids, right? So there's bumpers to keep you safe. You can't fall off, right? So that you work inside there, and if you start to go over, it hits you back in. But then as you get older, we take the bumpers away because you have to try to do it yourself to stay in there, like that gradual
release. That's a good illustration. I love that. I love that. So this is there is more on this page. I love that last section. We really could have a whole section talking about that, but we're gonna wrap it up because we want to honor everyone's time. If you have questions or if you're like, I want to know more about that, there's some lovely young women at the back here who have decades of experience raising children. You're so young.
Thank you.
Yes. and please feel free to seek them out because they really have so much wisdom. We'd love to benefit from. I want to close with this quote from Warren Wiersbe, and then Bev, I want to ask if you'd pray for us. Children are a reward, not a punishment. Opportunities, not obstacles. They aren't burdens. They are investments that will produce dividends.
Amen.
Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for your word that guides us. We thank you that even in your word you have older men train younger men and older women teach the younger women, Lord. And I just thank you that our church does that. This church family really cares and loves for one another and wanting to help these young moms and future young moms as they prepare for your gifting of children. And I just pray that what we learned tonight about loving our children, you would enable and help. You would encourage, Lord, in that. And, Lord, we just thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Megan.